Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. Welcome to our panel. It is Monday, the 23rd of January, and we have our panel here. They were all out busy marching and observing the marches, and have a lot to talk about. So we will get to that in just a moment. Let me introduce them. Also remind you that you can join in on our conversation panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Libby Post is here. She is a communications consultant. No, she's a political consultant, right?
She's
a consultant. That's
advocacy,
what she is.
Politics, whatever.
We love that you're here. Thank you very much. Good to have you. Rosemary Armeo joins us. She is the director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. And thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Alan Shartok is with us. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. Exhausted. What a weekend.
It was a weekend. Before we get into we want to talk just real quickly. I want to give you a lockbox total update because we left you on Friday. I believe we were at 320 or 315, something like that. Right now we are at $365,123.
That's really unbelievable. That's now the whoosh is beginning to happen, and I have to say my email has just been filled with people who love this station. And frankly, Joe, thanks in no small part to you, Libby, Rosemary, the remarks about the roundtable and the panel and what it has meant to so many people have been extraordinary. We're very grateful that you're there with us now, folks. And 365, we need about 135 to go to make it to that $500,000 mark. We have only 2 weeks to do it in. We could do it at this rate. We could and we must. So everybody, can you just go to WAMC.org and say, all right, we know they want to privatize public radio now and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is a very dangerous time. We all know it. I have an old colleague, a very good friend of mine who I love, who called me and left a message on my phone that for the first time in a long time, he was getting drunk. he was just getting drunk. He said, yeah. I can't
think about this. Today, Donald Trump has the nuclear codes and a pen.
Well, he had the nuclear codes on Saturday.
But he's taking
afternoon.
Out the pen today, yeah. Libby.
Well, he took out the pen already.
No, I don't
know
if
some
you
guys executive
orders. Today's the day he promised it really all comes down.
Yeah.
I was watching CNN yesterday night for a couple of minutes, and their reporter had talked to some of the people on the Trump side who said that his tweets had been ill-advised, and then you saw his being on the air and speaking in the most strange Trumpian way. I don't know if anybody saw it, but it was his eyelids were literally closed.
When was this? Where was he speaking?
I saw it
Alan?
Last night.
No, where is he
in
speaking?
The White House, and he was surrounded by Pence and a whole bunch of other people, And he was speaking very slowly like that. I wondered about it. I wondered what was going on.
Well, in the spirit of reconciliation, which I've come away from the Washington March with,
really?
His tweets are awful and must stop. And we, on the other side, have to do the same. I have disavowed Madonna. I was horrified by what she said. And this Katie Rich, who's a writer for Saturday Night Live, who posted about Barron, out of bounds, unnecessary. It's not the way we move forward.
And not only that, it just gives them ammunition.
Of course it does.
And that's the problem. But also it is out of bounds. He's a kid. We didn't want them going after Amy Carter. We didn't want them going after Sasha and Malia. We can't go after
them. And for Madonna, talk about blowing up the White House is similarly. I don't want to hear that. I have said here publicly, I really dislike Donald Trump as much as you can. I don't want him assassinated or hurt.
I don't want violence.
Yeah, I don't want that. That is not good for any of us.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I mentioned it on the air the other day, but on Thursday we went to Columbus Circle. I was an observer. Roselle was a participant. And there were 26,000 people there. And Mark Ruffalo, one of our great heroes, was there. And he said, if you're here to make trouble or violence, get out. We don't want you. I thought that was wonderful.
There was not a single arrest in Washington that enormous crowd, much bigger than the inauguration, by the way. And not a single arrest. There wasn't even a ton of litter. You know, I mean, if you drop something, you couldn't pick it up. So there might be a few things. But it was clean.
Except the antis on Facebook this morning found photos or took photos of something on the ground. See,
no way.
They didn't pick up their litter. And, you know, it's like, I'm sure that they did.
There were people marching with plastic bags on their arms that said, recycle here.
Right. I'm sure that it was as clean as it could possibly have been after the march was over. I think the same thing in downtown Albany and in the other places. We're responsible protesters.
All right. We haven't met as a group, as a panel, since Friday morning at just about an hour before the inauguration coverage began. So I just want to walk us through, because we haven't even talked about the inauguration itself yet. So Mr. Trump gave his inauguration address, his inaugural address, a country, and he showed his view of the, described his view of the United States as a country where mothers and children are trapped in poverty in our inner cities, where rusted out factories are scattered like tombstones across the landscape, where drugs and crime have stolen too many lives. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now. A very grim address.
Yeah, some people have been analyzing the speech, and there are words we've never seen in any other inaugural address.
Beginning with carnage.
Carnage is the first one.
Bleeding.
Blood. Bleeding, that's another. People, I hate people who are using that idea of Trump is not my president. More to the point is that this is not my country he's president of. That is not America, what he's describing. Very, very downbeat, just like his convention speech. He gave a new version of a stump speech instead of an inaugural.
Which we now find out was written by Steve Bannon and somebody else.
Are we surprised?
No, I'm just that came out. And now,
however, he has a beautiful wife. I thought Melania looked kind of trapped and scared, but beautiful.
So what's your point, Rosemary? In all honesty,
that you have to find some positive thing. I am not going to just be completely negative.
She was a touch of grace.
No, I think he's talking about the actual, about the march.
No, I was talking about Rosemary raising Melania as one of the positive things.
I don't see it as, she's not the president.
And are we opposed to objectification?
Well, there is that, but also.
Oh, come on. That's not objectification. She represents the administration in the same way that Michelle did. And we certainly talked about her arms, her looks, her fashion.
But she's not going to be in D.C., She's staying in at least for the rest of the school year, costing taxpayers billions of dollars in New York City. I think she's like a deer caught in the headlights, and I think she's had that kind of look for a very long time. She loves her son. We need to keep away from this bashing Barron.
It's the adult
there's no place
we can bash,
right. There's
Barron.
No place for that. But she's not the president. And, you know, I'm waiting for her to rise to the level of Michelle, and I don't think it's going to get there.
I'm willing to give her a chance. We've already seen what Trump can do.
I'm more concerned with what Trump is going to do and what we need to do on a local level.
All right. But watching the address.
Sure, go ahead.
And seeing and hearing the words, very similar to what I just described. Yeah. Throughout the 15, 14 minutes of the address, and just the trashing of the presidents who were on that stage.
And everyone.
George Bush, Barack Obama, Jimmy Carter.
And anyone who's in government.
And pretty much anyone who was in government. It was we had heard that it was going to be a personal speech and a hopeful speech. It didn't really seem to be either, but it was... It was very stark. I mean, it seemed to me that would be the point, and I'm let me ask you this, Libby, as our political consultant. I mean, just in don't you throw him a bone? I mean, don't you say you know a million people are going to be marching on Washington the next day? Don't you say that we want to include women into our system? Don't you want to say that these are the things that we're going to do? That we are going to work with you? That we work with all people? I mean, it's a line in a speech.
One would think so, and one would also think that he would talk about policy and moving the country forward. But it's the same thing that he has said over and over and over again. And he is not about throwing anybody a bone, because this is not about anybody but himself. It's all I. There's never any you. There's never any we. And, from a political communications point of view, I have to say all the rules are now being rewritten. I start class tomorrow night. and teaching political communications, and I'm gonna show them JFK's, Barack Obama's, and Donald Trump's inaugural speeches, and we're gonna talk about the difference in tone.
You're not the only one making a teaching moment out of what's happening in other classes, looking at Sean Spicer's first press conference.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, but it's really something, because all the rules now have been changed. And, you know, throw them a bone. He threw us a bone. He tweeted, "I don't agree with them." Basically, his message was, "I don't agree with the women, but they have the right to do it." Well, thanks.
Somebody put him up to that.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
Obviously, they were having a tough time.
Well, and that was after he said, "Where were these people?" And why didn't they vote?
Right. Where, you know, the election's over. The election is never over.
Well,
there's always an
election. By the way, are there any new poll data on him? He was down to 32, I thought. Yeah. And I wondered if anything new had come up.
I hadn't seen anything yet. No, 37 was the last.
Of this whole weekend, I thought the speech to the intelligence community was perhaps the most frightening.
Oh, okay.
Where, again, it wasn't about mending fences with the CIA and the people he must now depend on to help him defend the country. But, again, it was the lie about, I had more people at my inauguration. Right. Anybody else,
and,
which is just so
once again attacking the media
and blaming the press for the tensions between the two. Forget that I compared you in the intelligence community to the Nazis, but this is all something that was perpetrated by the media.
But again, that speech showed his total inability to see beyond his own self.
He was standing behind
him were those stars, signify the wall of honor, and he didn't even talk about that. He didn't talk about how people have given their lives. He didn't say there's no sense of there's someone else in the room other than him.
Okay. Mike says, "I guess we now live in a world of alternative facts. Many would call it deliberately lying, but the drivel over inaugural attendance figures and the attack on the media reminds me of two petulant children taunting each other. My dad can beat up your dad, or my school is better than your school. It also reminds me of the song out of Peter Pan, 'I Won't Grow Up.' I wonder when and if President Trump will grow up." And that's from Mike from Glens Falls. Then we heard from Jeff. "Rosemary, enough already regarding the nuclear codes. We're all educated people. Please tell me you don't believe he could walk into a room, hit a red button, and send nuclear missiles all over the world. It's not how it works, and you need to stop saying that, Jeff."
Please tell me you don't believe that that's what I think, that this is a man who has the power to make all of the things happen that the button is pressed.
I just have this terrible feeling that Jeff, this is a joke, that the alarm will ring. Donald Trump will reach over to squelch the alarm.
Right, and hit the wrong button.
Press the red button.
Except I don't think they have it in the bedroom.
No. Okay. And Renee says, "Good morning, panel. Is it possible Trump's family is climbing on board in order to watch over this clearly unhinged personality? As a psychiatric social worker, I do see clinical card-carrying disturbance that bodes ill for everyone. The best sign I saw on the march in New York City was, ugh." Sean says, "I was there. I heard her with my two daughters. She said she thought about blowing up the White House. Then she realized that wasn't the answer. The answer was work for change. The answer was love. She was great. Madonna was a breath of fresh air, and I'm 58.
Okay, read the reporting and see how it got portrayed.
Well, no. This is not an inaccurate letter.
My point is that Madonna did not think. She was in a really highly important invisible position, and she spoke personally instead of strategically.
Let us take a, we have just about a minute. One of the things that I wanted to, somebody in those letters mentioned alternative facts. So obviously this is something that came out of Kellyanne Conway yesterday in regards to Sean Spicer's press briefing that he gave on Saturday. But so that was a diversion, right? I mean, this is what this is going to be. I mean, yes, because that's what we're talking about this morning, as opposed to the Women's March and the millions of women and citizens who marched across the world.
Largest in history.
What is some? It was some Harvard scientist said it was one in 100 people marched.
Well, that's great.
I mean,
but it's not just that we're not talking about the Women's March. It's their strategy of diversion. So we're going to talk about Sean Spicer and Kelly Conway and alternative facts, and then we won't pay attention to the executive orders that are coming out.
Yeah, well, no,
that
it's,
we're not,
it's
you know,
true.
That's the sort of thing.
But there's another way to look at this, Libby, and that is when a government says that facts are not relevant, that we make up our own facts, that's pretty important.
I agree with you. I'm not saying that that's not the case. It's just there are all these sideshows that draw our attention from the policy issues that are going on.
So whose fault is that?
Well, I think it's a combination of fault. I think that they are doing it deliberately. I think the press, you know, it's what's shiny and new and controversial. And I think that they do this in order for us not to have access to the information we need to have access to.
I find it terribly frightening, really, that mm-hmm. she goes on the television, they ask her a question, who's the guy, Chuck Todd?
Chuck Todd.
And he says, no, that's a lie. That's not right. That's a
well,
lie.
Well, and and that's getting reported on, but over, not as much over. As Chris Wallace and Ryan Priebus, which was basically a carbon copy of that mm-hmm. discussion yeah. and equally mm-hmm. disturbing. But all right, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
I'm going to pause you there.
Sure.
Or pause there, I should say. We'll be back. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. We will be back after this short break in news from the BBC. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Arameo, and Libby Post. And we are here talking about what happened over the weekend, and it was quite a weekend.
And as we speak, people are running to the WAMC.org site and putting some money in because they know how valuable this place is.
By the way, we talked about the lockbox. We never mentioned the very cool things that sort of the heart of what we've been talking about all morning, and that is the First Amendment. And we have, for our premiums this time, for $100, there is a First Amendment T-shirt, which is really beautiful, has the First Amendment on it and our logo. Also, there is a First Amendment mug. This is the First Amendment now more than ever, with WAMC on one side and that statement on the other. If you would like one, if you want the mug, $100. If you want the T-shirt, $100. If you would like both, $150.
A deal.
Yeah. On the other hand, this is not this. As much as I love what we're giving away, it is not the what do you call it, channel, the, you know,
QVC, which is
what it is
which was removed from the White House website on this weekend.
Oh, everything was
what it is
every administration does that, though.
What it is is love for a station that we've all built together. That's what it is. We want you to have the stuff, but that's not what it's about.
At one point during the march, across a sea, a moving stream of a billion women, it felt like, I saw a sign that said, support investigative journalism. I go, oh my God, I must know that person. I now know what salmon feel like. I fight across the stream to get to that person.
You spawned?
I go, yes, I almost. And I said, who are you? And it was, get this, not a reporter. It was a news consumer. And I go, wow, I am an investigative reporter. And people around cheered. That has never happened, because people, I hope, are getting it. We are important.
I think the millions of people who turned up get it.
Without investigative
That's
reporters,
right.
all you have left to tell you the truth are Kellyanne Conway and Sean Spicer.
Right. And Fox News.
That
because they
scare.
Just reiterate it.
There was a pile of manure because there were police.
Horses.
Horses. And it was really hard to avoid it because the crowds were so packed in. But someone had managed to put a sign that said Fox News and propped it up on the pile of horse manure. And hundreds of people now have little snapshots of that in their albums. They all bent over to take a picture of it. It was definitely a like-minded crowd.
The day after what many had assumed, I don't know why that started, my apologies. The day after what many had assumed would be the inauguration of the first female president, hundreds of thousands of women flooded the streets of Washington, and many more marched in cities across the country in defiant, jubilant rallies against the man who defeated her. Protesters jammed the streets near the Capitol for the main demonstration, packed so tightly at times that they could barely move. In Chicago, the size of the rally so quickly outgrew early estimates that the official march that was scheduled to follow was canceled for safety, though many paraded through downtown anyway. In Manhattan, Fifth Avenue became a tide of signs and symbolic pink hats, while in downtown Los Angeles, Shouts of love Trump's hate echoed along a one-mile route leading to City Hall, with many demonstrators spilling over into adjacent streets in a large festival-like atmosphere. The marches were the kickoff for what their leaders hope will be a sustained campaign of protest in a polarized nation driven by an election that raised unsettling questions about American values, out-of-touch elites, and barriers to women's ambitions.
And you know what? The question now is, where do we go from here? Because as we've always said, all of us,
I'm just going crazy because you're reading from the paper, and I want to tell you what I saw. I just want 2 minutes, so
okay,
I'm going to wait.
Ahead.
I've been trying not to burst in on everybody else because I want those 2 minutes.
You take your 2 minutes, and then I'll take mine. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Here's what it was like being in the march, and I'm talking to all of those people out there who think it was a bunch of crybaby snowflakes. I have not seen this since the Vietnam protest, and snowflakes altogether make an avalanche, and that's what it was. People in that march were very aware that we were part of something very historical. The numbers were important. We were very aware that we far outnumbered the inauguration and that the president was lying about it, and we were very aware that this is just the start and we have to move on, and I want to talk about what she's doing locally, because that's what makes a difference. It's also crap that we had no idea what we were doing. It was a whole bunch of different ideas. If you looked at all the signs and you talked to people, as I did all day, there are three streams here. One is the environment and climate. One is reproductive rights. I never saw more uteruses, vulvas, and vaginas on display than I did yesterday. And the third is immigrants and tolerance. Those are three things. They are not in conflict, and they all can be achieved. The third thing I wanted to say is that there's great awareness of the divisions within ourselves. So stop trying to exploit it. I understand that we have to talk to women who deeply believe that abortion is wrong. We do disagree with them, and they were excluded yesterday. That has to stop. Same with women who supported Trump. We need to talk with them, and I think that needs to happen too. The women's movement has always been rift with division, and that's going to stop. And my favorite moment of the entire march, and then I really will shut up, was a truck. It was a food truck, but they couldn't open the food trucks. There were so many people here. You couldn't get to the food trucks to open it. You couldn't really have the one unified march they planned. Everyone just went on their own. It was an ad hoc demonstration. Amazing. And on top of this food truck were a bunch of Mexican men. And they held up a sign that said, "No, we're not going back." But the picture they held up was not a map of Mexico or of South America. It was a uterus. And that, to me, summed up what I saw yesterday.
Well, according to the website, the official Sister Marches website, there were 673 marches across the world, and over 4.8 million people participated.
Wow.
Okay,
wow. Largest in history.
Right. Now, there were 31 marches, Germany, France, 26, Spain. It's kind of hard to tell by the map. But what's important is that there are people organizing in these countries in Europe where the right thinks they are on the rise, because they all had a meeting in Koblenz this weekend, and Marine Le Pen, danced around the stage. We're going to be taking over, and so this is an opportunity for the progressives to organize in Europe to make sure to push back against Brexit and other things like that because the right wants to take over the European Union and break it apart.
Do you think you're using a bad word when you say the progressives? Because I think, as Rosemary just indicated, there were an awful lot of people there. I saw people who did not believe in abortion. And I think this was a pretty centrist, to me, center left, maybe a little bit, but it was not a bunch of extraordinary lefties.
I don't see progressives as extraordinary leftists. I see them as people who want to people who want to move forward. But what we're doing here locally, as Rosemary wanted me to talk about, is there are a number of groups, but the one I'm involved with is called Capital Women, and it's Capital Women New York, NY, on Facebook. We're doing political action. We're going to form a PAC. We're doing government action, which is lobbying and reaching out. And we're doing direct action, which is going to different places, being part of this march, but also showing up when, Congressman Faso was at the Whiteman, Osman and Hanna last week. People from our group showed up to ask him questions. We're taking the playbook out of what we used to do and bringing it into the 21st century.
And what you've just said is terribly important, because the way that I see this going is the only way that the Congress, which is Republican, will hold Trump accountable for some of the stuff he says is when people who are right on the line, you know, John Faso, a friend of mine,
yes.
runs from both a Republican and a Democratic group.
That's right.
And he knows, as does every other Republican congressman, that if it goes from 37%, which is what you told me his numbers are at, right, or the last time we looked, I think mm-hmm. they're probably lower. Mm-hmm. If they go to 28%, these guys are going to begin to say, uh-oh.
Right.
You know, if it's me or him, it's him.
Especially the ones in marginal districts. John's district is marginal.
No question.
You know, and so, you know, at least Stefanik is a sort of a marginal district up north.
Well, not so much.
Bill Owens but it can swing to the Democrats.
We've seen it happen.
You know, so in those districts, I mean, we're not going to see that kind of movement in, you know, the Bible Belt or the solidly red states.
I'm not sure you're right.
I hope I'm wrong.
No, I don't think I'm not
I
sure
hope
you're right.
I am
if
wrong.
This guy's numbers are in the 20s, you'll see an awful lot of people who will move over.
It's hard to get into the 20s. Like one third of this country votes contrarian to everybody else in almost every poll.
Right.
That's why Christie's 18%
is extraordinary.
That was international news mm-hmm. that he could go that low.
But it shows you can.
Yes, you can.
But when they
go low, we go high. So.
I think that women and the many, many men who were there yesterday, that was so great. And little kids have to do more than just local action. I think that's way important. Please listen to Libby. But when Texas women need help to fight the anti-abortion, anti-reproductive rights, when women in Virginia are under attack for the same thing, we in New York and California and safe blue states, I think we have to go there, too.
Mm-hmm. There's one other thing, Rosemary, and I don't know whether you saw this, too, but certainly on the New York march. And by the way, congratulations. It was great.
It
was great of you.
No,
but it was great of you to be reporting to WAMC.
I wish I could have done more. There were so many people, Alan, that it just crashed the system.
It was wonderful that we had you there. I just think it's great that the way that people were talking to each other was extraordinary.
Mm-hmm, it was.
People were happy.
Yeah.
Now go figure that out. I have never seen so many smiles, so much courtesy, so much decency.
It was so uncomfortable. There was no organization. If you were far away, which most of us were from the screen, you weren't seeing or hearing any of the real speeches. The march had to be canceled. The whole entire parade route was clogged. And yet nobody was crabbing at each other. In the press, people would say, oh, please watch my little girl. And people would like squeeze into each other to give that child, you know, a little breathing space. And they would compliment them and talk to them.
It's about people who care about other people. That's what these 4.9 million people are about, that there is good in the world. There's no two ways about it.
So here were all these women, all these wonderful women.
And men and children.
And, yeah, but somebody says over the microphone, so-and-so, a 12-year-old child is missing.
Right. She's in the white tent.
Dear.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. But then they did things like the kids were in the tent. A woman on a wheelchair got disconnected from her family.
Yes.
People were really working together to make mm-hmm. sure everyone was taken care of.
And I also want to say to those people who think I was just a big carnival, we were out having fun. It was lovely and energizing and uplifting, but it wasn't about fun. That's not why we're there.
Mm-mm.
This is not. I did not have the feeling like, okay, we did our part. Now we'll go back and let Trump run the world. That's not the vibe I got.
And how do you think he felt? I mean, here he is. He's looking at the largest protest in history in this country and around the world. I mean, people call him names. They call him narcissist. They call him this. They call him that. Still, I don't care who you are. You see a mass that big, it's got to mean something to you.
Well, I mean, his reaction was my party was bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. People who came in.
An alternate fact.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he will never say anything to the fact that he's weak in any way. He might have some, but it's all within this framework of I'm always right. And so, you know, it was only 5 million people across the country, but, you know, 60 million people voted for me. So
here's what I think. I think that he regards it as a premature reaction and he will show us something different. And in a way, even my own mother thinks that would be fair. Barack Obama got a Nobel Peace Prize long before he actually deserved it. I don't think he did, but long before he should have, he got it. And in a way, that was a positive before he deserved it. This may be a negative before Trump feels he deserves it. It was an expression of great worry.
Well, the thing is that Trump's rhetoric has brought us to this point. Sorry, Joe.
No, so we're going to take a break. Alan has a lot of letters. We have to go and pay some bills. We'll do that, and we'll be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. A lot of letters, and we will go to those now. Alan is collating as we speak.
No, I'm just looking ahead so I don't misspeak. Okay. Dear panel, at Catholic Mass on Saturday, priest, pro-Trump, at the end of the Mass said, "I want to say how wonderful it is that we now have a beautiful First Lady." Can you imagine? We didn't have one. My blood ran
AKA
cold.
AKA white.
My blood ran cold because the entire church laughed.
Well,
oh my God,
interesting.
At the risk of making people in my religion mad, you know, there are many other churches where the opposite would have been said. So, go find one.
Rosemary and Libby, did you hear Gillibrand at the D.C. rally? She really made New Yorkers proud. I don't think my eyes have been open to her as a politician until watching her at the hearings and seeing her this weekend. We're fortunate to have her in our state, and that's from Jackie. Okay. And dear panel, while I understand and agree that children should not be attacked, I find it disturbing that the new White House uses Trump's younger son and his Facebook page to promote their political position. An abuse is an abuse is an abuse. Thanks, Richard in Corinth.
I don't know about that. Barron has his own page.
I don't know either.
Need to check that out. I hate that vaccines are back in the news, and I think that, you know, potentially, although that's even talking, but that, you know, every child deserves protection, and that means getting vaccinated.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that Robert Kennedy Jr. is part of the anti-vaxxer movement.
Very sad.
It really is sad. His father must be rolling over in his grave.
We're all looking for heroes, and he ain't one.
No, not right now.
James says, I just have to disagree with the panel about President's comment regarding the poor in our inner cities. I am not a Trump supporter, at least in the least bit. But his comment about poverty, the condition of many of our inner cities and peoples trapped in poverty does seem to be accurate. And I say this as someone who works to alleviate these conditions, and that's from James. Well, James, here's the problem. It isn't that he's wrong about our pockets of poverty. What is he the one who's going to change it?
Right.
Or is he the one who's going to take people's health care away?
Right, which will just put people further into poverty.
All right. And Al says, greetings all. There are kinds of conflicting estimates of how many people were present at the inauguration and subsequent protests. Why is there no official count that can be backed up with a photo evidence and a reliable process for estimating numbers at all Washington events? Why has not the media produced a reliable, defensible estimate absent an official core count? It should be easy to sample this fixed landscape and produce reliable numbers. Rosemary?
Well, it is a whole science, and there's been plenty written about it, and all of them support the media information that this was record crowds, far more than what we had for what we saw for the Trump inauguration, and that the Obama second and first inauguration had many more than Trump did. The reason it doesn't totally work is that you can only count what's in the mall itself. Those are the areas that have been mapped. But this was so huge that people were sweeping all the side streets. There's no scientific way to do this. There wasn't one place that everybody went in to register. You're only going to get estimates.
Not only that, the estimates are often differing based on whose ox is being gored.
Yeah, that's true.
So you see sometimes an anti-Vietnam march, always underestimated by 100,000 or a couple of 100,000,
right.
Or more.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's tough. But the New York Times did a thing. Was it the Times, you guys can correct me, in which they showed if everybody was standing at the inauguration and then they showed lines and they say how many people would be between this line?
Yeah, the Times did a whole, you said there's a whole science to it, and and the New York Times actually employed a bunch of scientists to look in and try to get as close to it as they could.
And also the use of the Metro.
They were using the Metro rides. Now, the Metro is amazingly organized, and that they do have the numbers there. And it was.
I hope nobody brought any coffee into the Metro because, you know, it's not permitted there.
Oh, God.
Coffee
is the cleanest.
No food and no drink.
It's absolutely beautiful.
And during the fun drive, we always play the guy from, what's the name from our friend from, who produces Car Talk?
Berman.
Berman. Yeah, he got ticketed, and it's a hysterical story about it. Okay. Good morning, Alan and the panel. If one watched Fox News Saturday, almost all of Trump's followers do, you would probably barely know that over a million people were marching peacefully against Trump's presidency. Is it any wonder the Americans see the world in different ways? I know that I shouldn't tell this story, but I know that our Ian Pickus took a little incoming because the first half of our noon on Saturday was devoted entirely to the marches. So there's always somebody to complain when we didn't drop everything else. But can you imagine if we dropped everything else and just did those marches? Can you imagine the Trump people when they had a rally? I mean, it would have been something. So
not only that, but it also gives them even more reason to cut your funding on the national level.
You know what?
Just saying.
I know what you're saying, and I don't want to use a dirty word, so I'm going to just say the heck with them.
Okay.
You let them take the money away if they want to take the money away. If that's what they're going to do, I don't think we should be scared. And frankly, dare I say it, I've been a little disappointed in the way NPR has done it. And I'm a little bit concerned about the money aspect of this. I think the heck with them. If they're going to threaten to take money away, then we have to support this station and run it the way that it ought to be run, factually and fairly.
Real facts.
Right. Michael said, did you hear the staff at the CIA applaud him when he attacked the press? Ladies and gentlemen, at his press conference, the reporters applauded him. Right? Wrong. What happened was he brought his own staff with him, and they all stood around and applauded. What are you kidding? Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Paid adulation.
John Brennan, that's his name, right? The former CIA. He thought the whole thing was shameful.
Irene says, diversion. The media spends their time talking about his lies. The media won't have time to talk about the changes he already has made. Well, I got to tell you, the media has been covering what he's doing, his executive orders, and they will continue to. And yes, if he lies, he should be called on it. Robert says, Trump ripped Washington, D.C. and government officials on both sides of the aisle while praising the average American as the hero to lead the country. He only mentioned himself 3 times, and he mentioned Americans over 106 times. Good morning, panel.
Morning.
We as citizens need to unite. Trump is the president for the time being, and whether you voted for him or not, we all must hold him accountable. The president serves the people. We need to keep the momentum from this weekend. Go to petitions.whitehouse.gov and be counted. Good morning, Roundtable.
Good morning.
Tom. Mr. Trump brought a cheering clack to the CIA. See, I didn't even see this one yet. That's why it sounds like the CIA are so enamored with a Donald. And Keith says, dear panel, I'm thankful that you have a journalism professor on today. That White House press conference on Saturday was a train wreck. I truly feel less safe watching Sean Spicer put out those complete lies about the crowds from the White House podium for that amoral, narcissistic president.
I truly don't think that Sean Spicer is going to last.
Oh, no.
I think not that he's going to quit.
No, you fire the messenger.
He has right now no credibility with the press except for like-minded far right wingers, and you can't be a spokesman if that is your reputation. And I'm not sure right now how he recovers that.
There was something that disturbed me too, and I don't know.
What's that?
I don't know how true this was. There was a New York Times reporter who inaccurately wrote about the bust of Martin Luther King. Time magazine. I'm sorry. Did I say news?
What you said New York Times,
I'm
not
sorry.
New York Times.
Time magazine.
Time magazine.
Have time on them.
And it was the pool reporter, right? Pool reporter. So the thing about that I thought was disturbing was that the reporter immediately retracted and wrote
apologized.
and apologized to Sean Spicer, who Sean Spicer then wrote back and said, "We're all good,
we're all good.
No problem, thank you."
And then used that.
And then they used that over the next two days to.
And here
to
was
the
really the again a strategic thing. If I would, you know, teaching my in my PR teaching role. You don't bring up something like that. That got very little coverage. Only 18% of Americans use Twitter. Why the heck do you say that in a national news conference that now everybody is writing about?
Well, it got a lot of play on Facebook.
Facebook, okay. And someone said they saw it on CNN, so I may be wrong in this.
I
didn't.
Social media.
And the media has to pay attention. Right. We cannot make mistakes like that.
But from a PR...
Sorry, Alan.
I want to finish this one. I truly felt less safe watching Sean Spicer put out these complaint lies about the crowds from the White House podium for that amoral, narcissistic president. What happens when you need to hear about something that is truly important and then says sincerely and signs it? This is important to me, folks. Future sustaining member at the upcoming WAMC Fund Drive. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, and you can do it, by the way, you can do it now. You don't have to even wait till the future. Right. You can be become a sustaining member right now. WAMC.org, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post make up the group. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your letters, and my goodness, do we have a lot of them. So Alan has a stack.
And Joe, just could you repeat the rules for a moment?
Yeah, make them short. Don't get wordy.
Make them short like Alan.
Well, I would never say that.
Right.
But
however,
we just say, you know, 140 characters, and that's just some arbitrary thing that we've come up with. We just want to move through as many as we can, and if you make them really, really long, we can't read them on the air. We want to include your thoughts.
Or we will edit them down.
That's right. And then you get mad at us. And,
so here's a good example.
Just keep them short.
Here's a wonderful letter from Lauren. My first time writing in, I went to D.C. to march this weekend with my first protest and left me and all of my group so fired up. Rosemary's two-minute summary was so on point, and I have only this to add. I found this protest to be fiery, energizing, but also full of compassion. And that's where I stopped.
Excellent. We're adding you to Libby's list, okay? So you're on the listserv now.
Okay. And
Chris, Libby's list.
And Christina, it was wonderful to hear Barbara Smith at the Albany March.
Oh, yeah.
She was
a fantastic
great. Yeah.
speaker, and I was so inspired by her. Thank you, Barbara. We love our Barbara, don't we?
Yeah, she was good. I heard that when I came back, they were playing it on the news. Fantastic.
She'll be back with us on Friday.
Great, yeah. And it's great to see you. To see that. Dear panel, I protested the inauguration at the U.S. Navy Memorial on Pennsylvania Avenue on Friday in Washington, D.C. I witnessed an interaction which has left an indelible memory in my mind and gives me chills. I saw a female U.S. Army soldier acting as a medic at the protest go out of her way to tap a pair of teenage girls wrapped in a rainbow flag on the shoulder and shake their hands. This is my America. I will take this to my grave. Mm-hmm.
Can I say one other memory that really made an impression on me? There were a group of women, the Muslim Women's Alliance, and they were chanting, you know, no more fear, Muslim women rising. Yeah. And a man in a yarmulke came and stood in front of them, and they talked. He had a rainbow scarf on and a yarmulke, and they stood and talked to each other as like a billion people, like paparazzi took pictures. It was the tolerance message. It was amazing.
Love your panel. At the risk of sounding even more skeptical than you all, I fear Trump's poll numbers will only go up. He's already signed executive orders that are very popular in 37 states. Then what? Well, if that happens, then, you know, that's democracy.
I wonder what orders the letter is referring to.
Well, the executive order, for example, saying don't cooperate. There was this executive order. I'm going to misstate it now, but don't cooperate with the Obamacare regulations.
Right. But there's one even.
I don't think that's that popular.
No, and there's another one that is. There was
a cut in insurance for first time homeowners. Again,
right.
Popular in 37 states.
Right.
That's
right.
what the letter writer is referring to.
Now, first time homeowners are going to have higher PMI rates.
Yeah.
Tim says, I was at the D.C. March. I just want to bring up an extraordinary fact that millions and millions march. There was zero violence at the Women's March. I'm so grateful to feel the hope and unity that flooded through that historic event. Now there is work to be done. That's Tim from Stone Ridge. Okay.
Thank you for marching.
Thank you, Neil. Okay. And Seth said, this weekend confirmed everything we were worried about Trump. What we see is what we get, and that is bad. A lot of A's news. Rosemary, you may be a little out of touch with the spirit of the weekend. Madonna was right on, if you watch it in context. Everyone needs to move past the soundbite game, as millions in the streets already have. The story is the buffoon in the White House, not Madonna's speech or minority, who wrongly attack Barron.
I was in the march, and I didn't hear a word that any speaker said, and so did most of America, and what we heard was a soundbite. And of all people who understand soundbites, it's Madonna. I'm sorry, she screwed up.
Richard says, at first I thought the lying issue was a diversion from the post-election women's marches, but I think it represents erratic Trump thinking and behavior. Rich. And Julia says, Libby, I don't think this is a planned diversionary tactic. It seems more like damage control. The president doesn't appear to be able to look beyond his own persona.
It's the same thing.
That's from Julia. Yeah, you said that.
It's
yeah.
Damage control is a planned diversionary tactic.
Claude says, regarding President Trump's speech to the CIA, after damning them in the past, he said he loved them and was beyond them 1,000%. He's amazingly adept at rewriting history. And remember, this is the guy who never served in the military and accepted a Purple Heart from a vet and said he always wanted one.
I like that his exact words were, no one thinks more of the intelligence community than I do, which is exactly what he said about women.
But it's also after, after he called them Nazis. Remember that?
Yes, I sure do.
Okay. Okay. And Lou says, it is the media's responsibility to fact check and report all of Trump's untruths. And by the way, they have been doing that, and they've been doing it beautifully. The New York Times and the rest of it have been putting out things that say untruthfully said, you know, incorrectly said. I mean, I think that's extraordinary. Right?
You want to watch the transformation of a news organization. Yeah. Watching CNN over the last couple of weeks has just been fantastic,
they
especially Jim Acosta. They didn't even
run
the Sean Spicer press briefing live, and they ran it later. They would.
These are the people who hired Corin Lewandowski.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's but true. Karma.
Well, but Joe used the word change.
Yeah, I think it's a transformation.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I think now that they are the enemy, it's funny because we talked during the break, and then I forget what we actually mentioned on the show and what we said during the break. But we were talking about the Sean Spicer, Kellyanne Conway with Chuck Todd over on Sunday morning. And on Meet the Press, and there was a moment there where Kellyanne Conway said to him, you know, we're going to have to reevaluate our relationship if you're going to laugh at me and call things ridiculous, because he was trying to get to a point and asking a question over and over and over and over again, and that was a fairly chilling moment too of what.
Well, what happened to Maggie Haberman from the New York Times? She tweeted something, and I was in the middle of the march, so never got the whole story about how after almost two decades of covering the White House, she doesn't have a seat anymore in the press room.
Oh boy, well it's interesting.
I'm not declaring this
because
I don't know.
He said, and I don't remember the context at all, but he said he was very angry. I was going to use the B word, but he was very angry about the way the press was treating him. And he said, "And they'll be sorry."
Oh my gosh! He told the intelligence community that the news media were the most dishonest people in the world. And I'm thinking of not Putin, you know, not Duterte Philippines.
I don't know. I think that tactic will ultimately backfire.
No, there's no question. I think
Joe Found is fact-checking on us.
Because the media, other than Fox News, has a tremendous amount of sway. I mean, Fox News does, but the media has this ability to disseminate the information, and they're all on the offensive now.
And Joe, you were going to say? I'm sorry.
Maggie Haberman tweeted on Saturday afternoon, the White House press list that I've been on for 8 years and Trump campaign and transition list I was on for 18 months, I've suddenly fallen off of. And then about 2 hours later, she tweeted, glitch fixed, thank you, @press secretary and Stephanie Grisham And that was okay. at about 3:24.
So it's just a false alarm. Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Maybe it was and maybe it wasn't. Okay. And Lou says, is the media's responsibility to fact check and report all Trump's untruths? It is also our responsibility to speak up and call him on it when we are speaking with each other, citizen to citizen. Thank you for your coverage of this weekend's march. It's fabulous. Will you continue to do a 90-minute roundtable? Yes. Yes, we will. Thank you.
There's a lot to talk about.
All right. Scott says, how do you justify Madonna's speech without mentioning how profanity-laced it was, not to mention the profanity-laced signs, burning cars, and smashed storefront? Not worth discussion? Pardon me?
I'm sorry. The march had nothing to do with the violence. That was the day before, and there were clashes. They were limited, but yes, there were 100 arrests in D.C. on the day of the inauguration.
But not in the marches.
Not a single arrest.
Peaceful.
And
not
by the
for
way,
anything.
By the way, we have talked about that kind of thing and that thing. So what else can I say? All right. Mark says, I was at the inauguration and I saw wonderful, calm, happy, joyous people who were celebrating the fall of the progressive socialist agenda and the rise of patriotic values that this country was founded on. The progressives that were there were all angry and they weren't the ones causing any havoc that was caused. And they were the ones causing any havoc that was caused. A friend went to the march in New York City and they justified leaving a big pile of trash as a monument to their march. Trump people would never have been
arrogant. Big pile of trash. Here's what really happened.
We read them all.
Here's what really happened. On the security fences all around the White House, which was where the marching and the demonstrating ended, people left their signs. It was like a wall of protest. And there were hundreds of signs, and now there are hundreds of pictures of that all over the United States. It was not a pile of trash. That's just not true.
All right. Katrina says, the Women's March was a monumental event in American history. Felt like Rosemary had to squeeze in her discussion on it, even apologize for taking too much time to talk about it. This is important. Would love to see an ongoing discussion about the women's movement and what we're doing. Rosemary, did you feel squelched?
No, I didn't. Here's what I felt, that everybody here is all fired up and has a lot to say, and we do tend to interrupt each other. It is not out of disrespect. It's out of an eagerness to contribute.
Well, you went.
Absolutely. Love and respect for one another.
That's not sarcasm.
There are always some people who just...
All right, now shut up. We only got 5 minutes.
Okay. and some people just can't take a joke.
How would you women feel if men organized and held up pictures of penises and testicles? Did they go too far?
Nope. I've said this in the break, I think, that women are taking back words that have been used to shame them for decades. And I think it's really healthy, and there's nothing wrong with a little girl seeing genitals.
And just look at the Washington Monument. I mean,
pictures of them. Not men showing them. Let me be clear about that.
But, you know, we're dealing with, we have to deal with phallacies all over the place.
I found the
You're
signs.
Speaking into one now, actually.
Yes, that's right.
I found the signs amazingly creative and imaginative, including the march in Albany, which had IKEA has better cabinets. I mean,
yes,
come on.
That was great.
The wordplay was great. And may I say that having been a connoisseur of memes on the internet, there were no grammatical errors. I only saw one misspelling all day.
There was a woman who asked, there was on Facebook, there was a picture of a woman that with her sign that says, and our signs are spelled correctly.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, I love the highly educated.
Yes, me too.
So Pat says, in the closing hours of inaugural ceremonies, I was repelled by the sight of young woman military cadets selected to be dance partners for Mr. Trump. Women's Day of Activism was a needed antidote. In Albany, and Eileen says nearly 700 marches around the world, nearly 7 million women and children and men that love them. Important to figure out where we go from here for sure. But for now, please stop and listen and realize that the opposition is so strong and the movement is so powerful that we are a force to be reckoned with. We must recognize this incredible power to the people across the planet. I'd say it's a great start, ladies and gentlemen. I got to tell you. I happen to be one of those people who's just sort of depressed, wakes up depressed about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the first glimmer of light that I really felt was
Saturday.
These wonderful marches and where people were together.
I agree with that, Alan.
And each one of us has a role to play, no matter how small an action. It's about keeping the actions going.
Okay. And will the Trump white all right tactics and low approval ratings force the country to unify against his alt-right policies? I don't know. That's from Jay. But here's what I think, and that is that the word I kept hearing, what's next? Where are we going next? What's happening
yes.
next? And the word I kept hearing all day long was strike. Now, that's that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
You know, if you really want to make a point, right. They were saying, not me, but what they were saying was that a strike is something that could put the fear in the heart of some of the people who are espousing these.
It's so amazing that these are methods that we have up to now, except, okay, the 1970s were different, but have mostly seen in other countries, in foreign countries, a
right.
strike,
yeah.
you know,
strike,
and mass demonstrations, and oof.
Okay. Dana says, best sign in Albany March. I've seen better cabinets like IKEA.
Oh, that's the same one. I love that one. IKEA has better cabinets.
Keep in mind that many of those who voted for Trump could not possibly afford to go to his inauguration. First time writer, profile and pro-choice are not opposites. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Say that again?
Pro-life and pro-choice are not opposites.
Yeah, that's a political thing. We have to change that. My mother thinks abortion is murder. I think she may be right. The difference is I don't want the government getting to make the decision.
That's the key. It's
yeah.
about a woman's right to choose.
Right.
And what you think personally about abortion, whether it's taking a life or not,
doesn't
that's
matter.
Your personal right. perspective. But the government has no place determining what we do with our vaginas, our vulvas, or anything else.
Yeah, it's the same with, you know, death with dignity. Many people think that's right. the way to go. Mm-hmm. Others don't. The question is, you don't want the government making right. the decision for you. It's the same thing. And we can talk to other women about that.
I just want to, in our final minute, just remind people that I just want to remind people about the lockbox because we got a lot of letters about that as well. The lockbox is now, I think, $368,000, so it's creeping up there. But we need your help desperately. Whatever you can do, if you feel powerless, this is something that you can do.
This is our march.
This is our march, absolutely. Beautifully said. And you can do what you can do at WAMC.org. You can call us, 1-800-323-9262, extension 110. We have the First Amendment T-shirt. We have the mug. And all of that you can see online or call as well. But it is it's so important. The fund drive starts 2 weeks from today. So 2 weeks from this moment, from 6 o'clock, 2 weeks from today. So
we need about $170,000?
About that. Yeah, 172.
Yes. Yes, there you go. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Aren't you good at math?
Not really. But I can do
great, because I couldn't do that at all. But thank you. All right. We need your help. Whatever you can do, WAMC.org. Alan and Libby and Rosemary, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.